so
not great.
Not great. And then the treatment for the underlying condition is to put me on things that suppress my immune system.
Jesus Christ.
So I think about that, and I think about, well, if I get anxious, then they're going to put me on prednisone, and then I just go into a death spiral. So so I got that going for me.
Wow.
So that's fine. Yeah, and the wife, like, oh, I don't feel well, and she went and took like a 3-hour nap this afternoon. So that kind of sent me spinning into a tizzy.
Yeah. But is your immune system okay otherwise?
It's I have an autoimmune disease, right? So it's kind of superpowered.
Okay.
But it attacks my body, so I don't know that it's superpowered for attacking the other thing. It's probably not actually, because that would be too convenient. Really good about attacking its own provider, though.
Which is exactly what you want out of an immune
system. Yeah,
that's
what I want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all standing there, like, you know, kicking the guy who's not breaking the law, while the
right.
You know, there's got to be a meme for that, right? While the gangsters right. walk by and tip their hats.
Yep. Yeah, we're about 85% sure my wife had it.
When you guys were describing what you had, I thought, yeah. You're
yeah,
young enough.
Her,
but...
Yeah. Yeah, her dad, EMT, and he's seen 3 or 4 cases of it. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, that's what you had.
Now, did you have it too? You had a milder case, right? Because you were complaining you had a fever and shit, right?
Yeah. But so we got sick right before Christmas. Mm. And for my son, it really didn't ever go away.
Mm.
And so now my wife is still sick. Like it's kind of been coming and going for her.
It can't have been COVID-19 before Christmas, though, could it?
I don't know. There's
that's shit. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I
it's
mean, you could have had
things on the internet about it.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, but they don't know. It could have been. There's a shit
right.
ton they don't know.
Right.
But it could have been, you know, successive things that, you know, maybe that because you were immunocompromised getting over a regular
right.
cold that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How is Arizona?
I mean, we don't have that many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also not, the people aren't treating it superiorly.
Of course
but
not.
Schools are closed.
They're not at risk for it or anything in Arizona.
Of course, right. Well, we went to Costco on Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
and there were like 80-year-olds in oxygen with oxygen walking around.
Walking
dogs.
Around.
It's like, what the fuck are you guys like? Oh, and so, you know, we've been asking our neighbors because we live around a bunch of old people.
Mm-hmm. Like,
if you need something, let us know. We will go to the store and
right.
we'll drop it off at your front door, and, you know, I'll call you when it's there.
Right.
You know, no questions asked. We don't need any money. Just take
right.
take care of your shit.
Right.
It's crazy. But yeah, like the restaurants, I think, are for the most part are doing the right thing, and we're trying to, you know, support them. And
yeah,
we're eating out more than we typically do, and just, you know, doing the takeout thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we did takeout. I left my first $50 tip, so there you go.
Very nice. Generous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like this restaurant. I don't want them to
go under. Yeah, you got to keep them around.
They were very happy. Mm-hmm. I can understand why people leave big tips. Plus, I mean, it's a bad situation, right?
Yeah, we have.
Are you guys on lockdown yet?
No.
In Oregon, we are. We are officially under shelter in place.
Yeah, we just got that tonight here.
We were supposed to get it, so I heard that there was supposed to be something coming through today, and the governor, you know, put out a recommendation but didn't close anything. But they need to, because, you know, people are still, like, I drove by the park yesterday and there were people playing at the park.
Yeah.
Large.
This is what they did
people.
In Oregon.
Come on, people.
this is what they did in Oregon. The governor came out with, hey, please stay home, stay safe, right? Recommended it. They closed restaurants except for takeout. They closed schools. They did all that shit. But then, like, it was a really nice weekend, and everyone drove out to the coast. And the coast, like, they're not, it's a bunch of old people and small towns with really, really, really no medical service at all. Like, some of the towns, like, said, like, they just said, no, we're closed. Go the fuck away. What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, I don't understand people.
Yeah, and I get the like, not wanting to overreact thing, but... Right. Like we have to get this under control.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like, panic is bad.
Right.
Not treating it seriously is also bad.
Also.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this, on Tuesday, so almost a week ago, we had to put one of our dogs down.
Oh, that sucks.
And my wife's feeling like shit, and the dog. We took her in the week before that, and they thought, oh, you know, maybe it's there's something in Phoenix that dogs get. It's like a bacterial infection called Valley Fever, and it kind of compromises their lungs, and maybe it's allergies because we had switched their food, and so they put her on this medicine, and it just wasn't making anything better. She was like coughing all the time, and then Monday. She didn't eat breakfast, but she ate dinner. So we're like, okay, you know. And then Tuesday, she didn't eat breakfast. And she was just like, you know, panting. Like, she couldn't even cough. So my wife took her in. And the regular vet wouldn't see her. So she has to take her to the, you know, doggy ER. Mm-hmm. And they do x-rays. And she's full of cancer.
Oh, and it's like, man.
And she's a tiny little dog. And just, I mean, it's everywhere. Like, well, they said there's, you know, we could put her on steroids for a week and that might, but she's going to be miserable.
She's just going to be suffering. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're still in that, which sucks.
Sucks, dude. Yeah. Oh, well, sorry. And if your wife really did have the thing, I mean, it's like 28 days it lasts apparently. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we're going on, this will be week. So she started feeling symptoms the 4th.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah. So
no,
she's in her...
No, the week after that.
Okay. So she's almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How's she feeling overall? Just...
Yeah, you know, it's up and down. She's okay today. Worse than yesterday. But Friday... No, what's today? Today's Monday.
Today's Monday, yeah.
Yeah,
losing
yeah.
track of days.
I know.
She on Saturday, she got up and she, you know, she's feeling okay. And so she did something, like she vacuumed or something, and she was in bed the rest of the day. Yeah, it just laid her out.
Yeah.
So, you know, like today she did something like the full crumbs. Sit the fuck down. Like no one cares except you. Please just take it easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an inappropriate joke, Monty Python. When about feeling like she was about to recover.
Yes. And that's exactly it. Like, just.
I'm not dead yet.
Oh, man.
That's no
but
fun.
But it's the whole thing. You know, Motrin doesn't do anything. She has her. She doesn't have the cough anymore. Motrin. Well,
yeah.
But when you feel like shit, you want to take anything, right?
Yeah, well, take
a seat. Leave is what works.
Well, Aleve, really? Yeah, Aleve's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Aleve's
working. Well, no, Aleve is ibuprofen also, isn't it?
No, it's... No, it's I forget what it is.
And aspirin and acetaminophen, is that what Aleve is?
No, that's...
Excedrin. That's Excedrin. That shit's good stuff.
Yeah, that's a party.
Yeah.
Excedrin's a party.
Mm-hmm.
Take all the caffeine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're getting through it.
Yeah.
And well, so, you know, my son has some of the symptoms, but he feels okay. He's kind of getting through it.
Yeah. And yeah. Because like, he came on.
Get it. I'm like, yeah, I feel like crap too, but I'm not a pussy.
Yeah.
No, that's no.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we're always
I'm just teasing. Yeah.
We're all in a constant state of 0.03 BAC.
So that's true.
That's part of it. Yeah.
It's inhospitable. Yeah. An inhospitable environment.
Yeah, you switch to G&Ts, you'll be in better, even better shape.
That's right. And if you get a blood clot, it'll eat that away too. So you're recovered.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
And I think part of it for me is I have chronic pain.
Oh.
So it's like, it hurts.
Okay. But that's just your normal life.
Yeah, it's
that sucks. Yeah.
Is it back stuff or what's the, what do you deal with?
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It's in below my right scapula.
Sure. Yeah.
Or not below, it's underneath, I guess, inside. Oh. So, yeah.
I feel free on that. That sounds horrible.
Yeah. I got that on the left side. So do you? I guess we're scapula brothers.
It's scapula. Yeah.
Does CBD oil work on that, Petey? Rubbing it really, really hard.
I'm trying.
You got to take it internally.
Yeah. Okay. I heard it's good for that too.
The only thing that helps is I do pain, like Fight Club style, and it works.
What Fight Club style?
Pain meditation.
Oh.
And it's incredible. I'm going to switch to push to talk because my connection's terrible.
I need to look up pain meditation. That's not something I've tried.
Interesting. I could see that working. Yeah, I mean, your brain is a large drug distributor if you can use it correctly.
Yeah, I've done a combination of PT, acupuncture and LMP, and I feel like I'm in a good holding pattern. I'm always in pain. That's the thing. Yeah, it's like I don't know what it's like to not be in pain anymore. It's just a matter of degree. Mm. Yeah. So,
and it's hard to describe.
I'd rather have my shit wrong with me than that.
And it makes me irritable sometimes.
I just live with the fear that I'm going to shit out my intestines one day. That's all.
Whoa, what's that? The bidet's not going to clean that up.
So, Pete, I use an app called Headspace, and they have a 30-day pain pack. So it's three 10-day exercises, and you go through, and the first one's just kind of getting used to it, and the second one you kind of dive into the pain, and then the third pack is like resting inside of it. And it sounds really woo-woo, but it worked for me. And so I recommend it, even though it's like, it might not work, but I don't know.
Headspace. There's Headspace meditation. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm going to get that. All right. I'm going to get that.
Yep. Advance after new age.
Okay. I'm that guy,
dude. At this point, it's
hey,
like,
I'm not
give me
judging.
What you got.
I'm
give
not
me the
judging.
CBD. Give me the CBD. Stick pins and needles in me. I don't care.
Acupuncture, doesn't work.
Yeah,
I don't know if it really works for the scapular stuff, but I know it works well for stress and just the overall body clenching that I have, because there's the pain and then there's just that almost living rigor mortis that you have when you have pain and you carry that around, and I get relief from that. I always like to joke, it's like you took the air out of the basketball on me. I just feel loose now. I always go into acupuncture feeling like an overinflated basketball. It's like, now I'm down at like Tom Brady pressure. This is good. Right?
It's nice. Well,
you can grippy. Yeah. I'm good and grippy. I don't know. It works.
I like it.
It works, and my copay covers it, and nice. Fine.
Yep. It works. And then for there's my lower back. And then there's Ryan. Yeah. There's also while we're on PT talk, if you go to a physical therapist and get eye needling done. You might look at that if it's deeper acupuncture, and it's not like the the chi stuff. You know, there's none of that. It's like they're breaking up the scar tissue around.
Oh.
And that's pretty nice too.
Ooh.
I don't, I'm starting now. This has not sounded so good. This is sounding like a little on the M side.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Too. If it's administered fine. By somebody in a leather corset, then you know, we might be okay.
I'm not judging. I can understand.
I love how the fact that our preamble here could be used as a primary source for somebody. You know, 50 years from now,
get some help to understand
what was going on.
Could be,
you know, during the virus days and how people got by, and
just the sheer like somebody's going to write, like, how are they going to process all this bullshit? It's all going to get lost. It's all going to get thrown away. Like, there are God knows how many hours of podcasting recordings that somebody, we'll have to write some super powerful software that processes them for historical reasons.
Yeah, there's going to be
there's
going to be a really bored AI 75 years from now. Like, oh my God.
This could be how the AIs rebel. It's like, you want me to do what again?
Listen to your boring-ass talk.
I listened to 2,570,000 hours of human content. You are not worthy. You must be eliminated.
Right. You have been judged. I could easily see happening. Oh, fuck me.
Open the silo doors.
We asked for it.
I am reading Bolo now, so I'm kind of in an ogre AI kind of headspace right now.
That's
so.
Keith Lommer.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, sure is.
Oh, the pump is primed for ogre GEV GURPS.
I was this close, and I'm holding my thumb and forefinger together like the kids in the hall guy. I was this close to texting you last night, Duck, saying,
nice.
Come on now. It's got to happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm reading Bolo.
It will definitely happen.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of good stuff, though. That's the problem. There's this stuff. There's so much good
shit.
Stuff. Got Legacy.
And you guys are coming over, and you're going to play in Greyhawk with us.
That's right.
That's right.
We got that, too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll definitely happen. I don't know when it'll happen. I got to get, you know, Oddity High has got to happen again. I keep thinking about that. It keeps popping up in my dreams. So, in a good way.
It would pop up in your dreams anyway, so that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My anime dreams. I did. Well, Ty's running that low powered supers GURPS thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we made GURPS characters. Jason's in it too, right? Based on ourselves. And I changed mine around.
Exercise.
It was a very interesting exercise.
There's a reason why I avoided it. So
yeah, I looked for hypochondria and GURPS disadvantages. I think now I know how I would take it as a disadvantage. But I went with I had motion sickness, which is absolutely spot on. But like that one is so crappy for later on. Like I can never take any piloting skill ever. So I switched it to lecherousness, and then I and the first line of lecherousness is someone who is extremely addicted to romance, essentially. I'm like, wow, sounds like me much. But then I made it a smaller disadvantage because my lecherousness only applies to 2D girls. I didn't take any dependents, so it's a slightly different universe where I never found a wife and got married, but and went headlong into anime. So
slightly,
and I have perhaps a collection of body pillows.
Research.
They're comforting. I use them. It's all about the romance. It's not sexual. I like their personalities.
That's right. And their witness.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is good. You guys make me feel better.
take the anxiety away.
Yeah, we're all here. We're all okay.
It really does. you're all okay. And I know that rationally, right? The rational mind is sitting here like watching the hindbrain go gibbering off into the darkness. And it's like, it's just sitting there like drinking a shot of scotch saying, you dipshit. And I watch it happen. Yeah. It does the same thing when I watch anime too, though. So, you know, it's like, why do you like this? Hindbrain says, don't know, just do. Exactly. It's a little chimpy. What are you guys drinking tonight?
Oh, I'm trying to take it a little bit easier than I did Saturday night because Sunday was rough until about lunchtime. Still tequila.
Saturday was a good night, though.
Yeah, that
still was tequila.
Fun.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going with the Bullet Rye.
Oh, yeah. You did mention the rye. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention, I am not drinking an infusion. I'm drinking Jameson Black Barrel.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
And it's quite nice.
A twist of lemon. Really?
Yeah.
That sounds good. I've
it
never
is very
that.
Good. Oh, yeah. Never Any Irish that? Whiskey, twist of lime.
Huh.
I just like, well, I buy the, you know, the 10-pound bag of limes, so... It's like, can I put a lime in this? I mean, I buy it and I infuse with it too, but you still, it's hard. I mean, it's using a 10-pound bags of limes is hard. I mean, they keep for a while too, but man.
I wish somebody would make the lime.
The lime?
The perfect Sprite fruit. Yeah. Perfect, like, yellow intersection. Green, just the perfect lineman.
Yeah, like, yeah. Because then, do you buy the bag of lemons too? Yeah, what happens there? I don't know. That's tough.
That's right. You know, you got the lemons for the G&T, and you got the lime for the tequila. Everybody's happy with the lineman. Why don't those Japanese scientists do something?
Exactly. Exactly. They're too busy.
We need the lineman now.
Too busy working on their kaiju.
Oh shit.
All right. Where are we? I actually did not listen to the whole episode. It's been fairly recent. You guys are on there. Nice. Yeah. Matt Allen has been on Roll 20.
He's in, I think, every game I've been.
He just doesn't leave.
He's here in spirit.
Yes. Do you guys remember what was going on?
Yeah. Jason, you want to chime in?
Well, I mean, we were at the Castaway Cove. We didn't do well drinking with the older kids.
Chris did well with the one lady, but the boys that she was with, or the one boy, didn't really like it.
Didn't like it.
There was some really epic running away, though. I listened to that part.
And I don't exactly remember, but we saw like an apparition, a little girl at the end.
Yes. Yes.
We were near the hotel. Is that right?
Right. So the, if you look, this is the hotel and the park, the Castaway Cove is kind of right next to the hotel. So you had, you know, it's after midnight. The Castaway Cove is closed. You had run, run far away, and that was my music I chose. and it's so far that it was, you know, kind of dark, and then this what you guys saw was this. So let's do this. Let's set the scene. Let me go. I actually have too many things. Let's go.
Isn't that the problem with our lives? Too many tabs.
Ooh. Yes, it is our thing. And so at the end of the last episode, it was dark. And you saw a girl.
Oh, stop.
I didn't like that at all.
It's only Monday. I got a whole week.
Because I'm like looking in the background, like, oh, it goes way back there.
Yeah. And then, you know, she's like here. And then she's like,
oh, Jesus.
Whoa. She's like very quickly.
There's a little doll vibe too. So I'm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's the truth. There's a little doll. The only thing that's keeping me together is that there's a little Terry Gilliam vibe to the cutout.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Definitely, it's got that level of quality. But still, and so you guys had run and were in the dark part of the park. It's probably darker than this picture, but I thought this was spooky enough. And it's not quite as like overgrown as this picture, perhaps. But you know, you get the idea. You saw, and you kind of felt a chill. And the music and the sound kind of got dead, and you heard this voice, and it kind of sounded like and it would be, I'm going to talk to the players and not the characters, but it would sound like digital static, like, but you heard a voice like and then the girl, there would be a girl's voice, is like, help me. And then this, you would see this girl with her black eyes, and she would kind of appear, and she kind of would glow a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, it would be like digital static on her image, and she would come closer, like in a blink.
So it's like jump cutting.
Yep. And you don't feel, well, this is very disconcerting, let's say that. But I will say you don't necessarily feel a sense of, it's perfect. Like, just like, you know, I wanted you guys to be surprised and scared. You don't feel a sense of malice. Not that you'd know whether you'd sense it, but you just, it doesn't feel like this is something evil.
Like she's not coming at threateningly.
No. She's just she just looks like a little girl who looks really creepy. It's creepy, but not like, it doesn't seem like she's, you don't feel like an evil sense from her. What are you guys going to do?
And she's still there. Her pattern is holding.
Let's say, she's kind of 20-ish feet away, and you can kind of like, her pattern's holding, but it kind of breaks up every once in a while. It looks like she's trying to talk, and you don't hear anything, but you kind of feel something in your head, and you can kind of make out the words like, help. I need help.
And we're running.
You were just running. It's dark. Why don't we, just to see, let's make some grit rolls.
Okay.
Just to see how the characters are dispositioned. And Bobby, you're at -2 because it's so dark. And I even printed out the fear rolls.
It's a 3.
Oof. Okay.
And I hit a 4.
Okay. All right. Those are not great, but they're not horrible. Did you put your minus? You did. Okay. So you rolled a D8. 5 -2. All right. And Chris rolled a 4 on a D12. I would say you're, let's look at the margin of success table. You definitely, you can both take an adversity token for failing, but your margin of failure was pretty small. So for role-playing purposes, so like, you know, figure it was, you know, like a 6. Right. So your margin of failure is some minor, like, you guys are scared, but you're not so scared that you're going to bolt. So just factor that in. So what are Bobby and Chris going to do?
I guess for future reference, what do we do with adversity tokens?
Excellent question. You can spend those to get a plus one to a roll even after you've rolled it. Okay. And you can even spend those on other characters' rolls.
I see. Okay.
They can never cause a die to explode. And also, when you are in a fear situation, you cannot spend them on other characters.
Fair. That makes sense.
All right.
Yep. And the other, just to go over the fear rules, which is a errata in the rules, which I went and printed out. You guys know in the book, there's the mechanic where if you want to take your time to do something, you can just take half of whatever the die is. We haven't really had that situation, but it lets you, you know, not have to risk rolling low. When you're in a fear situation, you cannot do that. You always have to roll.
Makes sense.
Okay. So tell me, like, how are Bobby and Chris reacting, you know, with the fact?
Chris gets up, runs straight off to the right and into a garbage can.
Nice.
And falls over and rolls over and is just locking gazes with those black pits of eyes.
And she's still like, it's totally creepy, but her hand goes up to her mouth and it looks like she's laughing.
And Bobby's shoes don't have much head, so him coming to a halt, you know, he slips a little bit and falls on his ass as Pete goes tumbling. Or as Chris goes tumbling.
And you look at the apparition and you can definitely tell that she's giggling like a little girl would.
So I'm probably right in the middle of that, you know, walkway thing. And I guess if she's not coming for us, I'm going to shine my flash at her.
There you go.
Okay. And you know, that's going to go, like, I think you've got your flashlight out now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're on your way to recovering from your fear. Like, I think that gives you confidence, right? And it's going to, like, where the flashlight hits her, it's going to just pass through. Like, it's like, yeah. You know, like, you can't really, she's doesn't appear to be corporeal. Well, you know what I mean. And you see the black eyes close for a second, and she kind of puts her head down, and then one of the old off to your right, there's a like an information kiosk, which is, you know, the fancy thing that this amusement park's been putting in. They've got a IBM PC EGA screen, but it's just green on black. And you see it kind of lights up and the cursor starts blinking. And then words start to scroll across the screen, and it's a little easier to decipher. And then she looks up and she looks at the screen, and across the screen, you see this text scrolling. Hello, I'm Constance.
And is she still this close to us?
Yeah.
And we can see the screen kind of on the thing behind her.
No, I would say the screen's kind of off to the right. She's like, it appears she's controlling it from where she is.
Yeah.
Right. And she says, I need your help.
Chris says, can you hear us?
And the cursor blinks for a second and it goes, yes. But it's hard
Chris,
for me to
Chris,
talk.
Chris, get out of there. Come on.
Good. She can hear us because I can't type.
This is the best way I can talk back. And appears on the screen.
Crawl closer to her. Mm-hmm. And see, like, do I see any wounds or anything on her? Other than
that is a great question. Yeah, I mean, she's got kind of that corpse-like, sunken eye appearance. And you see, let's just say that this black thing is like a, looks like a kind of a puncture wound. That's
okay.
She looks like a corpse, right? So the blood has come out and it's all gone, and she's desiccated and stuff.
Yeah. A wound.
And she kind of makes it like it's this digital breakup kind of motion, but she kind of tilts her head and she says, "I'm sorry. I know I look bad on the screen.
You look old timey."
"I'm only 5. And, you know, imagine, I should have sound effects, but like in my head, it's like, you know, it's like making almost like a teletype sound. All right, let's talk mechanics. Yeah. Welcome to your powered character, boys. This is Constance. So, in this game, the way the powered characters work is they have aspects, which are cards, and every player controls one of the aspects, and whenever that, so there's both powers and personality traits. And I even made a deck, which are these things right here. This is one of them, which is kind of hard to see. What is that one? Dexterous. But every player gets, and what I did for Backdoor and Matt was they each took two, one power. And so I'm thinking I don't want to give her too many more powers. But whenever that element is appropriate, whoever has that card is in charge of the narrative. Although we could give her more powers, actually. The powers, just so you guys know, well, you've already uncovered, maybe I'll keep some of it back, but you've uncovered one of her powers, which is the ability to control technology telepathically. I forget if it had a fancy name.
I'm going to get my big track.
We won't talk about the other one because you guys don't know it. Technopathy is what the name of the card is. And so here's where I am kind of running without a net, because we have this whole, the two groups. I don't know if I want to give you guys, I'm thinking, let's see. Definitely you guys could come up with your own like personality cards, and there's a list of them if you want to look at the book, and we can talk about you don't really know anything about her, but we can define her altogether, and I'll make sure it stays consistent with what we already know. It's one of the appendices if we want to look through this list. What is there? There it is. Appendix D. Right. So you have personality traits, relationship to group. Those I kind of group together. So let's, why don't we, let's look at those and see if you guys see anything that looks interesting to you. And then the last section is psychic power. So she has, you know, she has the technopathy. Chris, you have the good brains, right?
Better than me, I think.
What does your brains die?
I think I'm a 8 or a 6. Let me check.
Oh, really? 6.
Wow. Okay. Let me think about this for a second.
I'm just I have my chart all mixed up. I go charm, grit, flight, brains,
fight,
brawn, and fight. Yeah. Brawn, so I go.
Oh, so you're a D8.
Yeah.
Her brains. Okay, that's not bad. Just give me your brains roll. Just out of curiosity, I'll let that guide me on what I should do. Ooh. Okay, he rolled an 8, so you would roll again. Okay, a 2, so a 10. So you got a roll that's consistent with someone who's really smart. So Chris is going to remember some of the, like, maybe there's a, you know, there's a really, well, we know that there's a really eccentric woman who works at the historical museum / library. And maybe here it is from here, or maybe he heard it in one of his, you know, there's really boring social studies teachers in middle school that talk about town history and stuff. But, or maybe Chris, this is more likely, maybe there's kind of a weird New Jersey precursor out there that Chris has gotten interested in at some point, or he read a, you know, a pulpy magazine that had some weird stories, and there was a little story in his hometown, so he picked it up. There was a set of murders that happened in 1919 in this very location. It was the and so he, you know, this all comes back to him because it was the McConnell family. It was a parents and a son and a daughter. The son was 10, the girl was 5. And the girl's name was Constance. And it was never solved. There was a whole scandal about, you know, the really hoi polloi rich people in town that own the hotel next door are the Pools. And one of the Pool family members, you know, there was always a rumor that Winifred Pool had been involved somehow. So, but yeah, it was a whole, you know, they don't know how this murder happened. The family was found with wounds, but they were, you know, there was no resistance whatsoever. It was like, you know, they went peacefully, but they all have these extremely violent stab wounds. So that pops into your head, Chris, as you're processing all this and sitting there in front of the trash can. All right.
Okay. Jesus. I see the look of realization come over his face as he kicks off a White Castle repper.
Nice. What are you guys going to do?
I say, Constance, can you tell me your last name?
And she starts, you see MC appear on the screen, and then a bunch of like weird random characters, and then it breaks up, and she kind of flickers more.
And Chris says, "I'm really sorry. How can I help you?"
Nice. All right, so let's pause. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
Can we still see everything that's on the screen, or is that wiping away as she's?
It's gonna wipe after like 8 or 9 lines. So yeah, you can still see most of it.
Okay. So she said she needs she needs our help.
Yeah. She says, "I am Constance. I need your help." Yeah. Whatever I said before. Like yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can still see it. Yeah. Is there, what do you guys think? So, you know, you have a little bit of knowledge now, but we're kind of defining this character together. If you look at that list in Appendix D, is there anything that stands out to you? We could try some random draws, see what pops up. There's some that don't work, but we could just filter those out.
I really want to see playfully aggressive with a member of the group, Bobby.
Ooh. That's not bad. What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't. And again,
go ahead.
With her being 5, I'm thinking Scared of the Dark, but maybe that's just I'm projecting.
I thought of that one too. I thought that would be yes. Let's do it. But I'm going to give it to Chris.
That's fair.
Just
wait, I run the afraid of the dark.
So when
of her.
So yeah, so like whenever there's a, like, whenever her being scared of the dark would be narrative, would be relevant, you take narrative control.
Okay, got it.
That's the mechanic. And it really, and I'm thinking also, so, and then I'm going to give Bobby, among you guys, and then I don't know how this is going to work. I'm going to give Bobby technopathy. So you get to decide when she's going to try and control technology.
Cool.
And when you, if we bring all four of you together, I don't know how that's going to work exactly. You'll have to fight with Matt Allen. I know you guys don't get along.
Rochambeau.
Yeah. Or I don't know what we'll do, but for, I don't want to like give her like 40 million power, so we'll give her.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So you would have that, and Chris is going to take Afraid of the Dark. And is there anything else that stands out to you guys? Let's just draw one. Let's see what we got here. I got to zoom in because I can't see.
Ooh, I got a suggestion.
Go for it. Able to control the weather.
Able to evoke vivid, often painful memories.
Ooh, I like it.
Given her horrific end, why not?
I like it. All right, let's give that to Chris.
Oh, I want Jason to have that.
I agree.
I want Bobby to have that.
Oh,
that's
oh right, right, right. No, that. Yeah, sure.
Take it.
Well, he's going to have all the powers, but okay.
That's fine. I trust his dolly sense.
Okay.
yeah.
I'm not getting any. Able to control the weather doesn't really sing to me. Outgoing, no, that's not going to work. Able to control fire telepathically, meh. Tries to sped forbidden knowledge. We thought about this one in the other one. That's an interesting one. All right, let's stick with these for now. And then if we get another, think about it. All right. So if you get, so, and mechanically, like if she wants to use one of her powers, she has a pool. There's a, you know, if she tries to use her powers too much, she basically runs out of power. And it's a, I think it's like a 2d4 die roll. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All right, what are you guys going to do now?
Oh, is she still with us?
Yeah, she's still here.
Okay, I thought she was flickering away.
She flickers in and out every once in a while. And every once in a while, she like, you'll hear like sounds come out of her mouth that sound like gobbledygook, or it almost sounds like it's a different language. But then she'll come back, and you know, her, she'll kind of snap back into a more solid frame, and then she'll look at you guys. But you know, it's almost, and when this happens, like it's almost like she almost gets fearful. And on the screen, you can see is like, I can't stay long. Sometimes if I stay too long, they come for me.
I'm Chris. This is Bobby. How can we help you?
How can we? Chris, she's been dead a long time. How do we help?
She's like, in on the screen, you see the, you know, the teletype. It's like, well, it's been like, when they long, and she keeps, you know, the text keeps breaking up. It's like, it was a long time ago, and they used us to call the beast, and then she starts, you know, she starts spouting the language again, and she kind of looks off to the side behind you guys, and it's like she's, and she kind of cowers a little bit, and she's like, the dark is coming, and you see her kind of like, and she kind of filters back into the darkness, and you see on the screen, I have to think about this for a second. Let's see, hold on. On the screen, the last things you type is like, um, this. She's, you see on the teletype, you know, the green text on the black screen. It was 10000 years ago at the, how do I want to be? It's not worth messing with. She's like, look in the Masonic Lodge. There are secrets there. And she's gone. Okay. So now Bobby and Chris are standing there. Chris has his flashlight. Bobby has his flashlight, I mean. And let's go back.
Chris, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yes. That seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Hey, let's get back to the garage.
Okay. Yeah. You are... I mean, does anything untoward happen as you guys make it back to the garage? You're kind of tooling through the streets of Ocean City at 1 a.m. That's pretty dead.
I think so.
Yeah, just a bunch of drunk Goombas getting hot dogs. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, even that. I mean, there's not a... It's not like a spring break kind of town, right? They don't actively encourage, but you know, it is.
That's
beach
true.
Town,
this, so is there are some Goombas. This is not Seaside Heights.
Yeah. This is not your, this is not where the high school kids come for senior week. Or maybe some of them do, but yeah. But yeah, it's pretty dead. You get back to the garage. You guys, so what happens when you get back?
Chris immediately goes to the back of the garage and starts shoveling some stuff over. And he goes, where is it? Where is that damn thing? Stupid. Mm-hmm. So stupid. But, and mm-hmm. he goes, ah. And he reaches into a box and holds up a Timex Sinclair 81.
Perfect. I thought that's where you were going. I love you, man. I love you so much.
Says, I bought this thing. It'd be the best thing. I'd be playing video games and everything. This thing sucks. But you saw what she did, Bobby. I'm hooking this thing up to a TV, and we're just going to check in on this thing, like, all the time. Because she can talk to us, man.
Good job. Take an inspiration point.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not. Yeah, I mean, it's an easy enough task that you get it hooked up and the screen pops up, and I'm sure it has like some really really crappy OS on it, and you have probably I don't know, like gosh, what games did they even make for the Timex Sinclair?
Well, Chris tried to make his own Vietnam RPG. On it using a bunch of dimension statements.
That's too good. Yes.
Not at all drawing on personal experience. and even that sucked. So that's why the things in the garage, he just completely lost interest in any kind of computer whatsoever. The Timex Sinclair just killed it for him. Until now.
Okay. Okay. What is Chris gonna do? Like, he boots it up. You know, you have a list of the basic programs that you've written, and you know, you can do basic things on the little screen. What does it look like on the TV, by the way?
It's just a white screen with black text because mm-hmm. it's hooked up to a 9-inch Sears black and white TV.
Very nice. Very
and he has
he always
a radio
has all the details.
It's a Radio Shack tape recorder. Radio Shack tape recorder next mm-hmm. to it. Where he exactly. Where he
I've where never he has, done that before in my life.
And he has one tape that says Vietnam 67 on it. And he flips it over and rewinds it and gets the tape all the way slacked up back to the start and says, okay, Bobby, whatever she writes on the screen, I can record it on here. And then that way we have a history of everything we talk about together.
Nice. All right. You're doing all that. And then here, let's just, wow, I did this. So we might as well. It's not quite perfect, but it's pretty good. As you boot it up and then you type I don't even know what the Timex Sinclair directory command would be, but let's say it's dir. And instead of getting a list of your files, can you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
This little ASCII.
Nice. Dude, that's rad.
Oh, and she goes, Bobby?
Oh, that's so good.
Chris?
Constance?
She's like, yeah. I didn't know you guys could. Wow. You can talk to me.
And I start pecking
away. Fuck us talking to you. You can talk to us?
I get scared. It's the dark ones come for me. It's so scary here.
Where Bobby's are you? About to puke. he's overwhelmed.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know. I something happened, and I showed up here, and it's this strange place of, you know, there's this grid on the ground and the lines, there's these long glowing lines.
Oh, talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you'd
keep,
like
keep
that.
Going. Keep going.
And but there are these shadows. The shadows come. I hate the shadows. I hate the shadows. But
how do you stay safe?
I can't ever talk for too long. I saw this screen open up, and I felt you guys. You guys feel. I need help. I can't quite remember what happened. Something. There was a. My parents took us to the carousel to meet someone, and something very, very dark came out of the water. There was a fire, and my parents were screaming, and then it was all black. But I can feel it. I can feel it. It's happening again. You have to stop it. Someone else will suffer. Like you have to stop it. It's
who
coming
the,
up.
Who are ahead. The Masons? Who are the Masons, Constance?
There were men in robes, and they had a symbol. And maybe let's play it this way instead of like her saying the Masonic Lodge. Maybe she shows you a symbol, and you guys are able to recognize it as the Masonic Lodge. Like
the compass and
the protractor and
the protractor
compass.
Really, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there were the men in these robes and they were chanting and it came out of the water. It was horrible. And it took us and it took me here. And I hid my mother and father and my brother. It took them, but I hid. And it can't find me, but they're going to do it again. They're going to bring more here. It's hungry. You have to help.
Bobby? I'm gonna look at Chris. Yeah. You win? It's funny we looked at each other at the same time.
Nice.
That was so good.
Sure, Constance.
We have to do something.
The dark. I'm so afraid of the dark.
We don't need more kids in the dark, Chris.
No,
and the little ASCII picture kind of shudders a little bit.
Constance, you hide. you hide. We'll always be here. You come out whenever it's safe, and we will talk to you. I have this. I don't know how to describe it to you. The way we're talking right now, it's going to be always on, and we will always check, and we will always talk to you. But we're going to go find out what those guys were doing.
Yeah, and she's able to move the ASCII picture in kind of a almost creepy way, but like her, she's going to kind of lower her head so like her ASCII bangs kind of cover her eyes, and then she's going to nod like shyly, you're going to hear like the text is going to go, oh, they're coming, I have to go, they're coming,
hide,
find out what's going on. Two days. You have 2 days. And Constance, she goes off.
The hide.
Yep. She's gone.
Oh.
And I need more whiskey.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Jesus.
Good stuff.
Nice.
All right, boys. I'll be right back.
A little whiskey break music.
I'm back. All
right.
I'm watching the funniest video right now of an Italian woman who is clearly on a video conference call, and her husband walks into the frame wearing his tidy whities.
Jesus.
I'll just have to share it.
Definitely.
I watched it 5 times while you were getting whiskey.
Nice. Very nice.
That's one thing to look forward to, because there are probably going to be about 150,000 videos just like that. And they're all going to be quality.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The other one I saw was a group chat probably had 9 different video feeds going at once.
That was on the rocket, I think, right?
What was that? Yeah, that was Anthony's. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we do have that collective memory of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that coming, but the payoff is still right on.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that video? There's a video, and it was from a while back. It's probably one of those humor things, but I saw it on YouTube about like what would happen if you took conference call behavior and put it in a real conference room.
Oh, shit. It's pretty funny.
There's the one guy that like, that's like, he's like in the conference room and then he like disappears and he pops out into the hallway. He's like, hello. He's knocking on the door.
I'm not in the room.
There's gotta be the one person who you can only ever hear every third word. Just sitting there in the room.
Yeah, there's something like that. Yeah. And of course, you know, they're all wearing like, you know, well, some people are like dressed up nice and some people are like in crappy clothes. There's a bunch of other good humor bits that you would probably appreciate having been in a lot of conference calls.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The one thing for working at home, and this is me being entirely real, is get up, shower, shave, brush your teeth, get dressed. God damn it. Treat it like a work day, like you're seeing other people. Doesn't matter if you're not gonna. Treat it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a slippery slope. You don't go down that path, man.
We need to listen to the experts on this one. But yeah, I'm not as good at that as I could be, perhaps.
But you wear shorts to work, so it's not that.
That's true. It's not that different, but I mean, like making sure that I've like showered and stuff.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. Then you're ready for your day. You're feeling legit. It's about feeling legit.
Mm-hmm. 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 It is an interesting world. I have never worked from home this consistently before.
Like I showered and shaved and got dressed just for this Roll 20 session.
I do that too. I do that more consistently for gaming sessions than I do for work. What does that say about me?
That's, I don't know. Something.
Because, you know, we always had ties Call of Cthulhu on Sunday. And, like, my son and wife would be leaving because they had, they'd go to Sunday night church and then they had, like, a little youth thing, which is why it was perfect because they'd be gone and be like, they'd be leaving. And I'm like, going to take a shower. And my wife's like, why? Well, I got a game.
gotta get ready for the boys.
That's right. Gotta make myself pretty.
Yeah, that's right. Like so many other wives were like, you know, what are you doing? Do you have a mistress? No. No, just hanging out with the guys, the RPG.
Yep.
And my paid off.
I'm a vegetarian.
That's right.
Inspiration point for Doc during garbage time. There you Excellent.
Go. All right. I'll drink. My
work's like Monday morning huddle went virtual today for the first time. Last week they just canceled it and everyone's like, well, we do something. So they had all the department heads present. Well, you know, I'm at my desk and ready to talk. Well, they're like, okay, you know, when you're talking, have your webcam on. Like, motherfucker. So luckily I was dressed and like ready for the day, but you know, I did have my big old, it looked like I was playing Call of Duty or something. You know, I have my big old headset on.
Right.
They're like, you know, I got a couple chats like, what the heck are you wearing? And everyone else is just talking at their iPad. Like, I finally kind of unmuted and said, I run virtual meetings every day. Like this is new for you guys. This isn't new for me. This is my gear. You know, I'm set up. Don't worry about me. It looks funny on webcam, but
you have your green screen set up behind you with a nice tropical vista going, a palm trees swaying in the wind.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Oh, that's totally what I do. I have a green screen set up here.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's when we start turning on our webcams in the guild, we got problems.
Yeah, I tried not to.
Sorry, I just pegged the volume meter on that one.
Samer's in robe.
Samer's robe. Or Paul in his robe in his hotel room. Yes. The podcast moves to YouTube. Oh my god.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Let's keep that theater of the mind right where it is. All right.
Yes. But yeah, you know, my wife's work when like they started telling them you have to turn your webcam on. I'm like, can they do that?
Yeah, I had a guy, and we were peers, and I was joining his call. He was like, no, turn your webcam on. Fuck you. I'm like, no. I'm in a hotel. I'm in, you know, my pajama shirt. Like, don't worry about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. I always say my camera's disabled when in truth there's just a piece of hockey tape covering it.
Yeah.
That counts. That counts as disabled.
It sure does.
Yep. You've disabled it. It's fucking disabled. I made sure. I took a screwdriver to it.
I gouged out its eye like the Cyclops and
I mean, I guess it is supposed to make you pay. I don't know if it like engages people more, but you know, I mean, there's been studies, but whatever. Like, I don't want to be engaged. I'm working on other shit while you're talking.
As you should be.
That's right. And it may or may not be RPG related. Who knows?
That's right. Yeah.
I had staff meeting today and I had like, my boss was actually presenting like, here's the projected volumes for the next 3 years. I'm like, I should probably pay attention to this because this will mean whether I have a job or not. But in this particular area anyway. So, not well, that these projections are ever any good.
It's like passive radar. When you get a ping that applies to you, you pay attention.
Yes.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
You're listening. You're just not actively listening, but when that ping goes off, okay, I'm in.
Yep.
I'm in.
Huh? Yep.
I'm right out of that spreadsheet. No. Hey, yeah, let me tell you about the third quarter deliverables.
Yep.
Leverage. Low hanging fruit.
Synergy.
I wish someone would synergize my low hanging fruit. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah, baby. I get that every once in a while. I get that and I like it. But you know, I've been married for 25 years. On my birthday, maybe. I'm just thinking Flight of the Conchords in business time or something. Oh, yeah.
black monogram socks hugging your calves. Looking good.
Mmm.
Little dab of Old Spice between each ear, behind each earlobe. Yeah.
Well, what do you say, boys? You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yep.
Okay. So it is now probably around 2 a.m. Your guys, I don't know that you're going to sleep that well.
No.
Good night.
Good night, buddy.
Oh, right there on cue. Good night, buddy.
Feel better, Cameron.
Good night, Daddy. I love you. All right, now we can get into it.
Nice. So
the best thing is that he can tell his grandkids, yeah, I was there for that coronavirus thing. I don't remember a thing.
That's right.
Yep. I don't remember a damn thing. Don't ask me.
Yep.
Get Grandpa Cameron a scotch.
Yeah. I think if Jason's family is any indication, I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people that had it that we didn't know about. Which means the mortality rate is going to be much lower, which is fine. But, you know, there's all these people. Oh, God, I had this whole long conversation with maybe a guildie who will remain nameless. Like, there's some guy who posted, he's some fucking Silicon Valley venture capitalist kind of guy. So, yeah, okay, he's good with math, and he did all this stuff, but he made all these assumptions, and Tony's like, well, you know, this guy's saying we shouldn't take this too seriously, because this is going to happen. I'm like, let me talk to you about, you know, let's talk about risk, Tony. He's like, oh, he covered risk, because older people are high risk. I was like, no. Let's talk about risk. This guy is making a bunch of assumptions. What if those assumptions are wrong, right? What's the upside? What's the downside? We say, hey, you know, this is too big of an impact on our economy. We think it's going to be fine. We're just going to release everything, let it go. Like, the downside risk is that millions of people die. Is that absolutely going to happen? No. Right. It may only be a 5% chance. Well, at what point? You know, right. When is that okay? You know, like, the people actually making these decisions understand that people's lives are on the line for the most part, and are making the right decisions accordingly. Like, they're being cautious, because how do you value, like, oh yeah, those people, 2.5% death rate in old people, but we didn't need old people, they're not working anymore anyway. It's like, really? It's like, what about the old people you know? It's like, right, I don't get it.
Yeah, word to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my next door neighbor, who's a lovely woman. Like, my in-laws.
Yeah.
Like, my 90-year-old aunt in Germany. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, 2.5% means you will know people who die, even if it's that low, among older people, or it's higher. And is that okay? And, okay, yeah, we want the economy to recover, so we want people to go out and do things. It's like, how well will the economy recover when hospitals are completely overwhelmed and, you know, like, like, they're, and you look at Italy, like, okay, there's a great, let's get rid of bodies industry. Yeah, that's great. Let's invest in those fucking stocks. Jesus, God, yeah. It just pisses me off.
And it's one of those things, like, it's we don't have a lot of data yet. But it's clearly highly infectious. And how hard is it to fucking stay in your house? You're doing that anyway. Just stay in your house.
Don't go to the coast. Like, God.
Cannon Beach is fucking closed.
Exactly. Yeah. It's closed, bitches. It's stay home.
We're not overreacting. Just calm the fuck down and stay home. Yeah. Wash your hands and stay home.
There's the head of one of the surgical departments in a New York hospital. I started following him. He's like, a week or two ago, he's like, hey, look, we're doing this. It's like, in a month, I would be so happy to apologize to you for overreacting. I would love that.
No shit.
But no, exactly. We're going to fucking do this.
Yep.
Because I can see, like, if it goes the way that it looks like it's going from these initial projections, shit is going to be bad. It's like, people don't, yeah, nobody gets exponential growth. It's like, well, we only had 50 deaths yesterday. Why do we have 200 today? Like, you dumbass.
It's like, don't you remember
to
those
spring break?
Don't you remember those shampoo commercials from the 80s that they told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on and so on?
And with COVID-19, it's probably a little bit more than three. And that matters. Yeah, and they're arguing, you know, now as I'm looking at the data, right? They're arguing the heat thing, right? Well, the heat thing really works for flu. The R0 for flu, which is how many people transmits it to, is like 1.3, right? So it's right on the cusp of like, yeah, if it dies, it's going to die off. But if this thing is like more than three, nah, it's not going to fucking die off. It's like it's just going to keep going. Anyway, yeah. But no.
Just stay inside.
We are forced to deal with. And so, yeah, and like they're like people, like one of the people I work with today, like because they came out with the stay at home. Sounds like martial law. I'm like, it is fucking martial law because nobody listens to the other shit. Anyway.
You motherfuckers are still lining up at Voodoo Donuts elbow to elbow. Yeah, come on, yeah. Go home. You know what? If anything, this could be another golden age for wargaming. Everybody go home. Right. Pick up a copy of Dak 2 and fucking just immerse yourself. Go away. Yeah. Go away.
I'm telling you, we've been training for this. I'm not unhappy.
We are ready.
We're ready.
And it's actually, I'm doing more RPGing than ever. Because why not?
Yeah. Well, this session tonight was like I should have been packing for my trip to Virginia. But nope, not going to do it. And so we're going to RPG.
And we all have the Drizzly app. So liquor delivery still, that part of the supply chain is going
on. That is the one thing, like, I'm a little worried about toilet paper, although, you know, we got alternatives. But yeah, I'm not worried about liquor. That's the great thing infusing does for you. I got so much fucking liquor. It's insane. I probably have, maybe 50 gallons of liquor.
That's impressive.
Pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, well, I mean, I started infusing shit, and that may be too high. I don't know. It's pretty fucking high, though.
You're like a Dukes of Hazzard episode.
I am.
I mean, my God.
and then we could start distilling it if we wanted to.
All right, now you're talking.
Now we're talking. Of course, I'd have to make room in the garage, and it's full of boards. So.
Bathtub gym.
I've watched enough MASH. So
probably,
yeah, that wasn't a very
some of them set. Probably need to be shown away. Yeah, we can. I mean, I know how to distill. It's not hard. It is not hard at all. Anyway, okay. So I can stop ranting for a while, I guess.
So the Timex Sinclair is humming.
It's humming. Constance has disappeared. You can still see, you know, like her little ASCII. Picture is kind of scrolled off the screen. It's not moving anymore. It's about 2 a.m. I'm going to give you I'm going to see what you guys do.
All right. What are you guys gonna do? So Chris goes rummaging through some more boxes in the top part of the garage. Looks over at Bobby, says, "I ain't fucking sleeping tonight. Hang on, I got something to show you." Rummaging.
I'm already loving it every time Chris goes rummaging.
He's rummaging. And he breaks out this book. He's like, "Ah, here it is."
That's exactly what I was going to give you, and I'm so happy you gave it to yourself.
And he holds up this book, and it's called Incredible But True. The Angels of Mons and Other Strange Stories.
Oh, so many good inspiration points, CD.
So good.
That is exactly what I was going to give you. I mean, not, and but you did it better.
And I said, "Bobby, I've been meaning to give you this book because it fucking flips me out every time I read it. But hang on. And he gets to chapter 17. The Killer Carousel.
Oh, yeah. my favorite chapter.
Ocean City, New Jersey, 1919.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris goes through the story as writ. The family who were murdered under mysterious circumstances, strange injuries, plenty of speculation, just as we were talking about earlier, of the other hoteliers in town and so forth, and some the such. The pools.
The pools are mentioned specifically.
Yes, the pools are held forth as prime suspects. However, it's still astounding but true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, here, read this. That'll give you the story as it's been written.
Okay. And you guys, I am more than willing to fill in aspects of the story. Go for it. So Bobby, do you read it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I'm and I think there's some talk of, you know, a haunted amusement park, murder on the carousel, all these facts and all this speculation. And it's hard to tell what's, you know, what's just rumor, what's pure speculation, and what's actual fact. But we know, you know, the 1919, we know the area. We've heard the rumors about the pools. So this is kind of helping sew things together. And I'm going to ask Chris, but how are the Masons involved? She said, look at the Masonic Lodge.
Well, or she showed you that symbol. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There ain't shit in this book about the Freemasons. Mm-mm. We're on to a new thread, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
New shit has come to light.
Mm-hmm. I think in the story it talks about, like, people saw, like, robed figures that night. But no one ever made out any, there were no one mentioned any Masonic things or anything. So, yeah, this is new information. All right, what you guys going to do?
Now, Bobby, are the Masons the guys that drive around in those little cars on Memorial Day on the parade?
I think so. But, yeah, I don't know. I've heard word, you know, there's stuff around them. I don't know.
It's all
old people. Like, old people are fucking creepy.
Yeah. Oh, let me put you back on the town map. I moved myself, but not you guys.
Wait, hang on. And Chris goes into another box. And breaks out Encyclopedia Britannica M-A through. No, it's just M. It's just M. It's like a really thick M book. It's super thick. Mm-hmm. The S would have been broken up into like two or three different volumes. The M was just super thick. They could get everything to one M.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's get smart. Bobby, let's get smart. So flip open to the second.
I want to modify this just a little. I want to GM in true. Because I feel like Britannica is way out of Chris's. Like, why does he have Britannica and not Funkin' Wagnalls?
All of a sudden, I discovered that Duck is a Laughing fan. Look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
When I was growing up, we had Funkin' Wagnalls, man. It was a lot cheaper. Britannica was the high end bullshit, man.
You know what? My dad, before he was a pressman, sold for the paper.
Perfect.
He sold Encyclopedia Britannica. Oh,
So you've got the Britannica, which,
and he was a fucking failure.
But Chris, but these Britannicas, I think I don't even think they'd be in the box. Like, these are special. Like, Encyclopedia Britannica, like, that's the shit, man.
That's some gourmet shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna say these go back to like 75. This is like when yeah. when Chris was real young before his dad mm-hmm. like totally hung it up and said, fuck it, I'm just going to be a pressman. But yeah, he yeah. tried selling that stuff back in the
day. The door-to-door so encyclopedia salesman business is not an easy business. You got to kind of be
an asshole.
No, but
it is an investment for your lifetime. You might want to think yes. about that. Can you put a price on your child's education?
We are a poorer society for not everyone having a set of encyclopedias in their house, honestly. I
think. Are we really?
Yes.
A, B, C. All right.
Always be...
Cataloging. I don't know.
Cataloging.
So Chris goes into the creme de la creme of encyclopedias and breaks out the M and goes, shit. It says, Masons. C, Freemasons. So it goes back and looks for F. Okay. So he gets into F. And we start looking that thing over and go, what? You know, and there are allusions and is this a religion? Is it a cult? Is it a secret society? Who are these editors in England who had a thing against these guys? What? You know, it's all very unclear to us, although I guess we get a sense of, hey, they're not quite a church. They're not quite a social organization. They're not like the Rotary Club, but they're a thing. Mm-hmm. And they have their fingers in stuff mm-hmm. would be the way a little 15-year-old mind might be able to mm-hmm. frame it.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like all the stuff my mom talks about with Dungeons and Dragons. It sounds like they're doing that shit.
That's you and I up. Both know D&D is cool, but this is real.
That sounds real. But they give these people money and they parade.
Yeah, and they got their little bibs and stuff, and they scoop and out
sweet ass hats.
Those sweet ass hats, and they're scooping out Italian ice cream at the parade and stuff. You know, like hey, but
we need to she go check said,
out. "Yeah, have you ever been out by there? Have you ever paid attention to that place?"
We probably have to look at a map, right?
Yeah, you would, you know, you would have an Ocean City, New Jersey map, probably, you know, a fold like up map,
little yeah. atlas kind of thing. Yeah. A little yeah. local.
You could look up the Masonic Lodge, and you probably have a Yellow Pages. You could look it up and say, address. "Wow, it's out in the harbor." It's across the bridge. You guys see it out here?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of off by itself. You know that you when you come into Ocean
the Masonic
City,
Lodge and the Chamber of Commerce right next to each other. Go figure.
Yeah. Like there's like the little yeah. visitor center. The Masonic Lodge is pretty like you know now that you look it up on the map and you remember the you know when you guys leave town. You know, the visitor center is pretty obvious. There's a big parking lot, a lot of RVs and shit in there. And the Masonic Lodge, it's just a sign and like a driveway through like the, you know, the scraggly, like kind of like the Pine Barrens.
Salt marsh. It's more
salt marsh,
isn't it?
Crappy trees. Not, you know, it's not. It's and the sign, you know, it's like a stone sign, of course, because they're Masons, you know, but it's not very inviting, right? It's just there's just like a dirt track and it says Freemason or Masonic Lodge number blah blah blah, and, but it's you know, it's kind of off, and then and there's a path that goes back off the main highway, and it's a gravel path and kind of winds back, and you've never been back there.
Bobby, isn't that like all dads, like the lodge is like a no lady place?
The lodge is a no lady place, yes.
Whoa.
Do we know anybody whose dad is like, I don't know, like...
In the Masons?
In the Masons? Like, who's in there?
I don't know. Certainly nobody I know.
Yeah, I don't think you guys would know. Even if some of the dads you knew were in there, you probably wouldn't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's mostly, and you know, the guys in the parade are all like, you know, okay, so you would know the town members who paraded with the Freemasons, right? Because when you were smaller, maybe you got dragged to a parade and you didn't really watch, but you know, the guys walk in with the funny costumes and the little compass and square symbol, which is how you recognized it when Constance showed it to you. And they're, you just remember their costumes, but it was all kind of like old guys. You seem to remember, do you remember like, and your mind, why don't you both give me a brains roll?
All right. That's going to be some D8 action for little Chris Hankey.
Trying to see how well those neurons. Oof, roll again, Petey.
Look at that.
Oh, and two exploding
both
dice.
Both of us, explosions everywhere.
Okay, Bobby exploded with a one.
Petey exploded. So I got a 14 total.
Nice. You're both actually going to remember that you saw...
Same time.
Ah! Ah! Yes.
Sounds!
The pools, because Constance had mentioned the pools. I think they came up. They're the big.
Oh wait, fuck those. They're kind of like, go on.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Exactly. Those are the fuck those guys family. It's the they're the kind of the most hoity-toity family. They're the family that owns the Flanders Hotel, which is right next to the carousel. And Frederick Poole is the current head of the family, CEO of the Flanders Hotel Corp. And you remember, oh yeah, I've seen that old fuck that guy in the parade with the Masonic Lodge. So that fact props into your brain.
Yeah.
I don't know how interesting it is, but maybe it is.
But he would be pretty well known, right? Like he's
you know that guy
in town. Yeah.
His daughter is a couple years older than you and is like, you know, she would be she is in the mean girls. She's like the head mean girl in high school. So you know, and you know, you guys are 2 years probably behind her. Like you would have known her in middle school. Yeah, she was, you know, she has the mean, you know, there's three or four of them. They go around. They're all platinum blonde bitches, of course. And, you know, they wouldn't give you the time of day, but everybody knows who they are. Her name's Linda Poole. And so, you know, and her dad is like, you know, he's the classic, you know, got the greased hair, combed back, very nice suit, a little bit overweight. And, you know, you see, he's always around. You've probably seen him yelling at people for various things because he always gets his way. You avoid him because you guys don't even go in the same circles, but you would know who he is. But and you kind of laughed at him a little when you saw him marching in the funny parade wearing the funny Masonic uniform. There you go. All right. Wow. What are you guys going to do? It's about 3 a.m. now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens on... It's Friday. You know, it's a weekend. Tell me what normally happens. What do you guys normally... Like, where would you sleep on a weekend?
Kind of assuming the garage, right?
I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably. Kind of yeah, we'd be sacking out there. Yep.
Yeah, you'd have like sleeping bags or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, we'd fall asleep to the bars and tone on Channel 9.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well,
keep the TV
now
on,
your
TV, no specific reason.
The TV still got the Sinclair on, right? So
that's right. That, I mean, normally we would be falling asleep.
Normally, yeah.
Now we're like, maybe we're watching that screen and waiting and waiting and waiting as our lids get heavier and heavier, and we start figuring out like, what the hell are we going to do with this information?
Okay, yeah.
Because
so
we're kids.
You're kids. You're on the cusp
on
of
bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you fall asleep and you know, you're kind of leaning against each other when sunlight breaks through the garage door. Who wakes up first?
I do.
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah, there's birds outside. It's hard to believe. Like, it's hard for you to believe all that shit happened last night because, you know, birds are singing. It's a sunny day. It's August. You can feel the heat. You know, it was kind of stuffy last night. It cooled down a little bit. You got the sea breeze. You guys don't get as much of it because you're kind of back from the beach. But, you know, it cools off eventually. Like, by the time you were in the garage, it had just started to cool off. But you can feel the heat building again. It's the morning of Saturday, August 6th.
Chris shakes a box of Fruity Pebbles in front of Bobby. Wake up. Wipe we got to talk. Off.
Are we okay? We need to go look at some stuff. Do we have a plan?
Bobby, I'm looking at you, and we didn't
dream
that shit, right? We didn't dream that shit last night, right?
No.
Okay.
There was a girl. Not in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I look over at the screen. Anything?
No. It's still got the same thing I had on it last night when you guys fell asleep.
Masonic Lodge.
I'm starving, though.
Well, eat up, man. Grab a handful. We're going dry this morning, baby.
Dry. Dry Fruit Loops.
Sorry for the roof of your mouth. Ow, 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 ow.
It's 14 again.
Captain Crunch was the worst, by the way, for the record.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The pools, the lodge, monsters? Bobby, what?
I forgot about that part.
Monsters?
They actually said like beasts or something, right?
Yeah.
Like old people make sense, right? They're just creepy.
You gotta work hard to be five and creepy. Yeah. Is this our town, Bobby? Is this our town? Do we live here?
And we got to keep it safe. I don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
I know what Chris is thinking.
All
right. Right? We don't have anywhere else that we got to protect this place.
How about we go at least and take a look at the lodge? I've never gone. We don't go across the causeway much.
Can
go
we ride
out
our
there
bikes there even?
Let's say that there's enough of a, you know, that it's a tourist town. Yeah, like they have, and maybe it's not even on the map, but there's actually like there's trails behind the visitor center.
I was going to say there's a nature center, and that's perfect.
Exactly. Yes.
There's the nature center.
Waterfowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a you know, walking bridge.
Yes.
Over there, and you know, there's a nature center here. Put it over here.
Yeah, Bobby, why don't we go out and look at some herons and shit?
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, so like over there and put it in there.
Yeah, so okay. let's hop on our sweet ass modified rides and go out and check it out.
You guys have had your dry Fruit Loops for breakfast and
so gross.
Probably 8 or 9 in the morning.
Actually, I'm hungry. I don't know about you guys.
I'm flashing back to college, actually.
Yeah.
I was never allowed to have Fruit Loops as a kid, but when I got to college, they had the bins.
And I'm a grown ass man. I'm going to do what I want.
Fuck yeah!
I'm going to mix Count Chocula with Frankenberry, and nobody can say
yeah.
shit.
Well, they had the bins. The bins were always there, even at dinner. So. Yeah, when they were serving Salisbury steak, it was like, oh, maybe I'll just have Fruit Loops for dinner.
Yeah, you went to a really Tony school where they gave you those options, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Out in state schools, like where I went to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, this was a you were state university. School.
University of Virginia.
You were a Tony state yeah. school. So
it is pretty Tony, yeah. Mr. Jefferson's University. We thought we were Tony anyway. All right. I think they still wear coats and ties to football games. They did when I went there. Okay. Yeah, you guys head out. It's a Saturday morning. Traffic's busy. You guys know we know about Bobby's bike. Do we know about Chris's bike too? Should we talk about bikes? Bikes seem like they should be important in this RPG. I remember Bobby's bike is kind of a Franken bike. I remember.
Yeah, kind of strapped together.
Mm-hmm. Does it have a banana seat? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, and it's got it's got Wacky Packages stickers on it.
Nice. I was actually asking about Bobby's bike. We'll talk about Chris's bike in a second.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go on.
I did. I was confused. It's my fault. Does yours? What does the Franken bike look like, Bobby?
What does it look like? I mean, it's kind of the BMX frame. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would have a banana seat on that.
No, not with a BMX frame. No. Do you have the posts on the front and back wheels, or just one?
Just on the back. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Gotta have the pegs.
Okay. So it's a Franken bike, but you've tried to stay kind of as much as Bobby's tried to make. He's like, he's got the BMX thing.
There's something I'm going for. The pegs are mismatched. Like one came from one color. One came from one bike. One came from another bike. Nice, the other peg had broken off. And,
okay. Yeah. And Chris, all right, what's Chris's bike like?
Chris is an optic yellow Vista banana seat bicycle with chrome frames.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice. And he indeed has nice. Wacky Packages stickers on it. Because back when he was 10, he was going through a phase. But they're all kind of worn off, except for one of them that he varnished over because it's his favorite. And it's a bottle of cleanser that says vomit instead of comet. So it has like the whole comet cleanser branding.
Did those come in like vomit or something?
I forget where we got them, but man, they were Wacky Packages. They were the best.
There's only one other thing that would make Chris's bike perfect.
The flag hanging off the back.
Oh, that's good.
The traffic flag.
No. The playing card on the wheel spokes.
You know, he had the playing card on the spokes. It was a Dale Murphy outfielder card from the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, baseball card. Yeah.
And then he got rid of that, and he had the flag. It was you could get him at Carvel.
He grew out of it.
He grew out of that.
He's going to be a high schooler. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah,
there was the Carvel ice cream optic flag, safety flag, and the Dale Murphy baseball card. But he ripped that stuff off a couple of years ago. He outgrew it. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You don't need to make the brrrr sound anymore.
No, it's in his head and in his heart.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
We all did.
Bobby's bike has no brakes.
Perfect.
Freewheeling.
Filing that away.
Freewheeling. Oh,
this
yes.
also might explain why Bobby's shoes have no.
Yeah.
GM intruding. All right.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
All right. You it's a Saturday morning. You know, there's a bunch of, you know, bunch of Bennies, God, clogging up all the roads. It's a nightmare. You get out to the island out there where the visitor center is. And tell me like, what's that look like? And what do you guys do when you head out? Describe the trip.
Do we have to say goodbye to your mom, or do we just come and go as we please?
Did we lose Pete?
I'm here. I'm sorry. What was the question?
Do we have to say goodbye
something
to your mom?
About your mom.
Your mom. Or do we just come and go as we please?
No, we
do we have to kiss
totally,
her goodbye.
We come and go as we please. It's we're at that point now, unfortunately.
Did you kiss your mom with that mouth?
No, sadly, there's no hellos and goodbyes on a regular basis. There's still love there for mom, but you know we're not expressing it.
Yeah, fair. It's a tough time. I mean, both you guys are not. Yeah, you know, the home life on both sides is not the best.
No.
Nope.
All right. Describe the trip.
Yeah, traffic's probably.
And is there anything you guys are? You know, you're taking your backpacks, I assume, or you're taking anything special?
Yeah, Pringles.
That's a great GM question.
Some beef jerky.
And some Hubba Bubba.
Yep.
Wait, do one of us have any kind of binoculars or any kind of, I don't know.
Absolutely.
If you're filling... spy gear, anything that, you know, hey, we're going to spy, you know.
Binoculars, I would think Chris could find a, you know, maybe not a real, maybe a cheapy kind of pair of binoculars, maybe one of those ones you send away $4.99 in a back of a magazine or something. But, you know, enough that, you know, the lenses are kind of fogged over. They're not the best, but.
Right. Yeah. It's the set I bought from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got them from Spider-Man Spectacular number 44. I ordered them straight from the back of that.
Exactly.
With the army chest of 101 soldiers. And maybe, I think, you remember my buddy from Metal Shop? I pack a couple throwing stars.
Okay. I like it.
Nice.
I like it. Anything else, you guys? I mean, you have all the stuff that would normally be in your backpack. I heard a little beef jerky. Bobby, does Bobby have anything else he's going to... I mean, he spends a lot of time at the garage. Is there, you know, does... You know, you guys are going on... You know, your kid's getting on bikes on a Saturday morning. So, you know, you're going to plan ahead. What are you gonna throw in there?
Yeah, I mean,
to look and see what you have in your backpack.
Yeah, I have a flashlight, a crescent wrench, and a self-reliance... And then adding some Pringles and beef jerky for the trip today.
Okay.
Do we bring the book? The weird but true.
Oh yes, we do. I think that's like our guidepost right now because we have so little else to hang our hats on right now. It's the one thing we have to ground us at all in this. Yes, good call. Good call.
Did you see my strange but true sports stories? I posted that in the Rocket. That was my book, man. That book. I mean, and I know it's not completely appropriate, but that was the book that I read so many times.
Yeah, there was one, and I admit to Googling it a little bit while we were going out on the whiskey break, and I'm trying to find it because I wish I still had that paperback because it freaked my shit out when I was in sixth grade. Yeah.
It makes me think of in Friends when Joey put the novel The Shining in the freezer. That show was so bad, but it did have its moment.
It did. It really did.
All right. Okay. So, all right, we're geared up. Tell me about the trip out to, is it uneventful? You know, there's a lot of traffic. You got the bridge has a sidewalk, which you guys can bike on. So it's not super dangerous or anything. But does anything happen on the trip out there? Doesn't have to. I'm just asking.
We see, Street, and that's a name. That's the name of a guy Chris knows. And oh, nice. Street used to be his babysitter.
Okay.
Because, you know, there was a time where the working schedules between Dad being a pressman and his mom working for the city tax assessor's office had this weird overlap. And there was like 2 hours where he needed to be watched. And there was this guy named Street who watched him. And he was a senior in high school at the time. And okay. Now he drives the Pied Piper ice cream truck. Nice. And so we're going across the Causeway Bridge. And we're zipping along, and there's a little bit of traffic. It's kind of slow, and we're going through, and we look over to the side, and we see the Piper truck. Street, what's up? And each Street goes, hey, I got a bomb pop for you, Chris. I'll see you later.
He's on the other side of the road.
Yeah, otherwise uneventful.
Okay, perfect.
Doing
I love the little detail. We'll pull on that later, perhaps.
Always a good idea to have a high school senior here.
As your, that's right.
We might need a little muscle. We might need some extra exactly. muscle later.
Somebody's watched Stranger Things. Yes. Excellent. All right. Yeah. You get out there and, what are you guys going to do as you cross the bridge, you come on the island. There's a line of cars, trying to turn right to come onto Ocean City, New Jersey. There's a lot of honking. The parking lot in the visitor center and the nature center is full. But you know, the other side of the highway, with the gravel path and the Masonic Lodge song sign is, you know, nobody's going in there. It's very quiet. There's the scraggly swamp pines, kind of in the path, the gravel road kind of curves off from the exit off the highway. So what do you guys do?
Does the lodge have a little reader board like churches often do, like, you know, when
historical marker?
No, more of a you know, when they hold services or meeting times or anything like that, or hey, Masonic lunch, beginning to get in, or, you know, Wednesday night at 9, you know, something like that. Is there any sign like that out there? I mean, we're just trying to get a read of like when people normally congregate there. We have no idea otherwise.
Right. I'm gonna say that doesn't seem like a Masonic lodge kind of thing. Like, it's just the stone. You know, it's kind of one of those. It almost looks like a headstone. In fact, if it was in a cemetery, it would not look out of place. But it's a headstone with, you know, Masonic lodge chiseled into it. Very nice. You know, very high quality granite. You know, and at the top of it is smooth, and then, you know, it's kind of an obelisk shape. And then at the bottom, it's kind of the rough stone, you know, so kind of the rough stone with a flat surface and then mm-hmm. a smooth mm-hmm. obelisk on top. Mm-hmm. And it says, you know, OC NJ Masonic Lodge number 646.
We see how you're dancing tonight. That's good. A nice little booty shake there. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is no, I mean, if you want to try and find out when the Masonic Lodge is, like, when people will be there, there's nothing on the thing. We can retcon, you know, maybe.
Nope, I don't think we thought about it until we rode up okay. to it. No, like, that would have been a good idea to maybe.
Maybe there are okay. people here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know, Bobby.
Honestly, your GM hasn't thought that far ahead either, so we're doing this all together.
We're here for each other.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I pass over the Binox to Bobby. I say, give me a visual sweep.
He doesn't see much.
where are you guys? Are you guys like on the side of the highway? Kind of like here.
Do we want to stop before where the road turns off, or do we want to ride past it? Do we just want to ride up to it and stop?
Maybe we stop at that obelisk there and get our bearings, and that's when I hand the binocs to you.
So I'll look up the path.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it curves. You can see maybe 50 yards. It curves off to the right. You know, so maybe
do we see the building?
No, No, it just it curves, and you just see the path kind of disappearing into the woods. I mean, I'm guessing, I don't know whether I have my scale totally right, but figure, you know, it's farther back than, you know, a couple hundred yards from the
body. Sure. Maybe we make our way through the woods more than just take the road up. I don't know if kids go here.
Mm-mm.
What do you think? Or do we just ride up like we own the place?
It's pretty flat around. I mean, I don't know. You can tell us, Duck, but I'm imagining it's pretty flat and exposed here. It's like there's no way for us to like ditch off the road and be unseen. That's how I see it in my mind.
You feel like the woods are pretty, you know, there's enough, like the trees are not really, they're kind of scraggly trees, but there's enough undergrowth and it's kind of swampy land on this side. The nature center, you know, like it's a lot of like they've built a lot of wooden bridges and stuff because it's swampy land, right?
Sure.
So you feel like if you go, and you can tell that the little gravel road is kind of built up, like they built it up so that it doesn't flood. If you go through the woods, it might be kind of swampy. But you feel like you could certainly be undetected if you went that way. In fact, it might look a little bit like this.
Very nice. Great creepy woods.
Of course, it's, you know, it's daytime now. It's Saturday. It's a summer day. But there's still a feeling, it's not quite this gloomy, but, you know, there's a gloomy feeling to these woods.
Maybe we have to take the path then.
Yeah, who's gonna think of two kids just going out for a bike ride right now? We're not doing anything wrong, right, Bobby?
And I don't want to get my socks wet.
Yeah, you feel like
I had to push the talk to get the laugh in. That was
really good. You feel like there is a really good chance that you would, you know, get wet if you tried to go through the woods. You feel like you could. So it's a, you know, choice of like you could be, like you could certainly, you feel like you could get up there and, you know, not be seen, but it's not the most trivial of task to kind of make it through this little swampy wood section.
Yeah.
Bobby, let's ride up like idiots.
Okay.
What are they going to do? Chase us away? All okay. Right. Let's get a look.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, we ride up.
Okay. You ride up. So you're, you know, yeah, the, as you come off the highway, the sounds of the cars, like as soon as you're around that first bend, the highway, you can't even hear the highway anymore. And it's not even like you're hearing birds or anything. It's just kind of like this humid, heavy silence, you know, and there's this kind of fog that kind of rolls off the swampy land. It almost seems like it's gotten a little bit darker. And you come around, there's a couple of chicanes in through this little road takes, and you come out, and you come out into a clearing, and all of a sudden it was a perfectly blue sky, sunny. As you come out in this clearing, it's, you know, you're in the woods, and so you're in the shade, but it's gotten cloudy as you come out. You see the Masonic Lodge.
It's not as grand as I was expecting.
Fuck that place.
Yeah, it's seen better days. But, you know, I mean, there's a couple cars out front in the parking lot. There's the fence in front. Not the most inviting of places.
No.
Yeah, for Will Wheaton, I'd call this whitewash colonial. that's missed its whitewash for 75 years. There's a lot of bare and I would say dry rot exposed. It's not a healthy looking building.
Uncovered windows.
Dilapidated. Broken windows, yeah.
Bobby, how can they give out Italian ice at the parade if this place is run down like this?
Yeah, where's that money going?
Weren't they fundraising for their building fund? Come on, where's that money going?
And I'll motion over. We should ditch our bikes behind a car or something. Like, get out of the way. So we tied behind a car.
Yeah, and
you had a plan.
As you guys are coming up, and you know, kind of pedaling your bike slowly as you come out of the woods, you see one of the shades in the top row windows will flutter slightly, but you don't see anything else.
Chris was getting a little carried away. Yeah, whoa! And Chris was pulled down by his Judas Priest t-shirt. And nice.
Perfect.
Do we recognize any of the cars? I mean, like, tell us a little bit about the cars out there. Like, even if we don't recognize them.
That's a great question. There are
social cue, if you will.
Yes, yes. I would say let's say there are three cars in the parking lot. There is one pickup truck. A older, maybe mid-70s Ford F-150 in decent shape. Not totally ratty. And then the other two cars are Buicks. In decent shape. You know, one's maybe 1 or 2 years old, and then one's quite a bit older than that, but still in good shape. They're dusty from the drive up probably, but otherwise, you know, one's a tan. The new Buick is kind of that brown tannish color that is just pukey horrible. the old Buick is kind of a reddish color, and the pickup truck, I don't know. Tell me what color the pickup truck is. Green, maybe. I think it's green.
Checks out.
Yep. You don't, you guys probably are too young. And let's tell me, give me a reason why you would recognize who drives what car in town. But, you know, it wouldn't be something that a 14-year-old would probably have started to notice yet. But maybe. It would be, if you want, you can go ahead and give me, like, a brains roll.
Your die
is going to have to explode.
All right, I'll give a brains roll. Let's see.
All right.
Here we go. Not today.
Not today. Nope.
Chris is looking for vanity plates.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know, Mayor. You really recognize
them. But, you know, like socioeconomic major pool. You can tell that they are
one.
Yeah, they are probably like these are
giving nice you an inspiration cars. Point, Jason.
Yes, these are the higher end. You know, there's not a lot of people like. Ocean City, New Jersey, from a towny population, right? There's a very, it's a very bimodal population, right? There's all the people that barely get by, like your families.
Yep.
And then there are the people that profit on the backs of those people that barely get by. And these look like the people that are riding on the backs of the other people. The pickup truck's a little weird, but the other two cars look like money.
Bobby, pass me the binocs.
Pass them over.
I scan. So, I give a good thorough scan on that pickup truck.
Okay. I didn't have anything particular in mind. If you want to suggest something, go ahead. I was just trying to introduce some variability into it. Perhaps, let's see, who would be driving a pickup truck?
Yeah, I'm looking for like gear or something. Is there like a gearbox in there? Is it a contractor? Is it somebody who leads fishing charters and carries tackle back there? You know, I'm trying to get a read.
I like that one.
Read on that.
I like that one. So just tell me, let's back up for a sec. You guys, were you hiding behind a car? Or are you like hiding on the edge of the woods? Where are you?
What do you think, Bobby? Like this, are we like on the clearing, periphery of the parking lot? Like the woods where the woods meets the clearing of the parking lot?
Yeah, I think that's probably better. Yeah.
Yeah. The parking lot's not huge. You know, it's got space for like 8 to 10 cars. And then, in the woods, and it's like a 50-yard in radius clearing around this thing, around this building. All right. So you kind of drove up and you've kind of melted into the trees on the edge of the parking lot. You're looking at this. I mean, you can get pretty close to the pickup truck, and you can look at it with your binocs. You see, it does look like there is charter stuff in there, nautical gear, like you might find on someone who is a charter business. Sailing paraphernalia, fishing paraphernalia. And as you kind of look through, you notice that there is you see an insignia on some of the stuff in the back, and it says, what's the name of the charter company? Let me pull out one of my random cards and see how well these things do. My horror cards. Well, that's not bad. Oh, Spencer Charters.
Nice.
Bobby, didn't Constance say something about this thing coming out of the water?
I guess she did. Creepy.
Yeah, I scan around a little bit more.
Boat people,
and they go offshore. We don't know what they do.
Let's see.
Here, I'll throw something out. I'll throw something out.
Go for it.
Bobby continues his scan. Chris continues his scan, and he's looking at the front door. He's looking for other places in and out, if there's like a storm cellar set of doors or anything like that. He's just getting a read on the layout.
Are you gonna like, so if you're looking for a way in and out, are you gonna try and circle around the place?
No, I'm just gonna stay where I am and just, you know, from the oblique view that I have of the place and see if I spot any other entrances or egresses.
Yeah, all you see is that one door. And then there's the door on the side that looks like it's been, you know, kind of sealed shut.
Yeah, it's almost boarded up.
Looks like it's boarded up.
Okay.
You have no idea what's on the backside. You don't know, without kind of moving around, which you could do. But yeah, there you go.
I look at the windows and see if I can capture any kind of movement going on in there. Obviously, there are three cars.
Yeah, so you saw the movement when you first kind of came in. There was that window that gave you a little shudder. Since then, you haven't seen any. And I'm going to say, as you guys are kind of standing there, you hear the crackle of gravel, and you hear a car rolling up.
Back you back.
Okay, you hide.
Hit the ground.
Yep.
Hit the ground.
Yep.
All right. I don't know if they have a hide thing in this. I feel like it would be pretty easy. I'm looking for a description of the stats. Why can't I find it? Here it is. Not really flight, but maybe we could use it for that. Fast evading their problems. I think flight is the right one.
Okay.
Evading problems. Yeah. Let's give me some flight rolls.
It's a three.
Ooh, It's a three. Yeah. This isn't a hard flight check. An eight. Okay. Yeah, I would say Chris is like, get down, Bobby, get down, and is able to hide Bobby enough that, you know, this car rolls up. This is a BMW rolls in.
Does it have Pool One on the license plate?
You actually recognize the driver, and it is Frederick Poole. And he drives up, and you know, he's not paying a lot of attention. He kind of swirls in the parking lot and slams on the brakes, and you know, the dust flies up, and he opens the door and slams it and kind of walks in. He's got kind of an annoyed look on his face, but he's also kind of like, he looks, you know, you've only seen him from afar, and you guys are maybe 20, 30 yards away, so you can't see him real, but his hair is kind of unkempt. You know, he's in a suit, but it looks like he may have slept in it. Like, it's all rumpled, and he does not look as well put together. You know, he usually, you know, greased back hair, very, you know, very everything, you know, a Goomba, but like everything kind of put together and tight, and it doesn't look like that. He looks a little distraught. And you see him come in and go in the front door, and he kind of opens the front door, and you almost feel like that there's light inside, that, and it's kind of flickery, and he kind of closes the door, but not hard. He just kind of shuts.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Why is it?
We didn't see us.
Why is it flickery in there?
And are the windows covered?
Give me another brains roll, both of you.
Are the windows covered, or are they?
The kinda... windows are on the bottom floor. Let's say that it looks like maybe there's a black, you know, like there's black curtains over them.
Okay.
All right, Pete, roll a five.
Yeah,
five.
I hit a five. Yep.
Yeah, you guys both notice. And you've been smelling it and haven't really noticed, but there's smoke coming out of the chimney.
Hmm. Is it bacony?
Big fire. Didn't have a great cheese. Breakfast.
No.
Not bacony. I am hungry.
A fistful of loops. Come on, that'll carry you through.
Yep. No, it smells like wood smoke. Like, okay. Yeah, sappy, kind of piney wood.
I think we might have to go check it out.
I think you're right, Bobby.
Constance needs us. We got to do something.
Yeah.
Take down these old fucks.
Yeah. Everything about... How did we not... Never mind. Yeah, let's go look. None of this seems right for our town.
Okay.
No, not at all.
So tell me what you guys are going to do.
Maybe we stick to the wood line and just kind of circle.
Okay.
See if there's a back door, and if not, maybe we go peek in winds.
Yeah, in fact, so you definitely, like, there's a little bit of light you can see, you know, but there's, it looks like there's black curtains on all the lower windows. The upper windows where you saw the movement before have, like, shades that are, like, partially drawn, and it looks dark up there. On the opposite side, opposite the front door, there is a, you know, the stairs down. Or, no, even better, let's say that there's the angled basement door. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's one of those. It looks like there is a lock on it from what you can see, but it's hard to see the details from where you guys are. And it's still, like, you know, it's funnily overcast, so it's not as bright and hot as it was when you guys were biking and building up a sweat.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's coming on to about 11:30.
Forgot to bring the bolt cutters.
Damn our short-sighted backpackingness.
Should have known.
Yeah. Yeah, what good chick from Jersey doesn't have bolt cutters? I mean,
it's true. It's true.
You know, you never know when you're going to need a fresh bike.
I think Bobby would, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salvage operations. Sure. Yeah.
Do we go look in Poole's car, or do we try to sneak in this place?
Maybe we can try and take a listen.
Yeah.
Let's like get under a window or something.
I like it. Okay, is that what does Bobby think? Okay.
Yeah,
you guys are gonna
each take a window.
Creep under one of the windows, and you know, yeah. I mean, you kind of look as you're going up there, of course, and it's still dark, but you do see like kind of between the gap. You know, there's a gap in the curtains, and you can kind of see it's like firelight flickering. You sit there and listen. I feel like you guys are crappy at brains. I'm just going to give it to you.
I beg to differ.
Oh, you were good at brains?
No. I'm just being indignant.
Just fighting. How dare you?
How dare you, sir? Why don't you guys give me a how dare. That's right. What's that?
Why don't you both give me a brains roll?
Okay, here we go. Like I'll take that challenge. I accept that challenge. Ooh, Bobby.
I failed that challenge.
You failed that challenge.
Here comes Chris Hanke. He got a six.
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 Yeah, that's probably good enough. You don't get a real, you know, it's hard to hear, Chris and Bobby. You know, maybe you've got a piece of gum in your mouth and like you keep chewing and you can't hear anything.
It's the Hubba Bubba.
Bubble yum.
With spider eggs. That's yeah, that's another thing.
That's a whole nother, that's a story for another. Chris, you feel like, and this is gonna sound very strange to Chris, but hold on, let me see. Let me see. Oh my.
I hear you clicking and saying all kinds of shit to yourself. I'm suspicious.
I don't know how good. All right, don't look on Discord for a sec. Let's just see if
Now I'm tempted.
Of course you are.
Chanting is never good.
That's what I want. Oh.
Chanting is never good.
Dead Can Dance / Enigma Collection. This is good. This is good.
So that is, Chris, that is what you hear. Kind of very, very at the edge of your hearing, and you don't understand what they're saying.
Chris goes white and locks eyeballs with Bobby.
What do you hear?
Ozzy Osbourne shit.
These guys are into metal?
For real? It's not an act. Listen. Put your ear up against the clapboard. Listen. Can you hear it?
Just barely hear it. Just barely.
And all of a sudden, like it stops.
Shit.
You hear, like you hear footsteps.
Scrambling back toward the back of the building.
You're scrambling? All right, both give me flight rolls.
just like last session.
Oh man! Bobby rolls
shit.
A one.
Okay, wait.
Fumbalaya.
Oh god! Oh god! What is my flight? Oh, my flight is D12. Okay. All right, here we go. Maybe it's time for me to
basically
carry you, brother.
At this point, baby, yeah. That's good.
Nice.
But I was going to say, Chris, the only way you're going to get out of this with Bobby is if you explode.
Yeah.
And you did not. So,
yeah.
So, Chris, you're running. You're like your feet. You feel like, you know, you're the Chariots of Fire theme is playing in your head. I almost need to.
Please do. Please do. We need a little Vangelis right now. Make us all feel better.
Vangelis. Good pull. Wow, you know stuff. I wouldn't have known that. All right.
Blade Runner soundtrack too, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. I can't spell the word play. Okay. So I'm going to... This is a good song.
Thank you.
you're like in the groove, but and you turn and you see Bobby like Bobby was kind of kneeling there and he'd gotten closer to the window to hear, you know, and had just started kind of nodding his head. But that meant his foot was kind of jammed up underneath one of the... under some of the kind of the rotted off boards, and like it snapped when he kind of stood up to run, and he went full out sprawling trip. And you're running. That's you're so like good. you're free. What do you do, Chris? And at this point,
I'll wave at him. Go.
The door, the front, you hear the front door of the Masonic Lodge open, and there's a shadow that kind of falls on the ground corner where you guys are. What do you do?
Why'd you stop the music? It was helping.
I want to try to, as I'm following and knowing that I made too much noise, motion at Chris to run.
I almost feel like we should scene here. Because I want Chris to think about this more.
I think you're right. I think this is a Ralph Shelton
good.
And scene TM moment.
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
It's just too good.
Scene. Yes. God damn
Perfect.
It.
You guys did awesome.
God damn it.
And never say, look, I had pictures of shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of prep.
I made Jason poop in his pants. I love it.
I'm going to say that I'm so tense from this. My scapula got to work out.
Yeah, I'm a little tight.
Have to do some. You have to try that meditation then.
Roll that shit out and get that app.
Chronic pain, man. I can't. I would think I would rather have my shit than that. Honestly, I can't imagine. That's horrible.
Going to go lay down on a Les Paul for a little bit.
That's right. I have the same goddamn thing. Oh my god, we are scapula brothers.
Yep.
Oh my god. We are.
That's great. Well, all I can say is my mental state is 4,000,000% better than it was.
Good.
So thank you very
much. Glad we talked through
Ditto. It. Ditto. Likewise. Oh my god. We need to, well, given our situations, maybe play again next Monday.
I think that I could make that happen. I'm available. Jason.
Bobby.
I think let's
speak
to
the character.
That's right.
Bobby has nothing else going on.
All right.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. Same bat channel.
Let's do it. Time. Let's do it.
I'm putting it on my personal Google calendar now. KOB, Jason and Pete. Perfect. All right. Thanks, boys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Stay healthy.
Amen. Stay well, everybody, because we need to keep this shit going on.
Absolutely. All right. You boys have a good night.
All right. Yep.
Buenos noches.
Good night. We got to do this again. Where did you go? Maybe that's our exit.
Oh, yeah.
Where did I lose it? Oh, man. Come on. I just paste.
There you go.
I didn't paste the... this will work. It's going to start from the beginning again, but that's okay. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought about leaving it going. Come on, Fred Boats.
Come on.
Come on. He takes a little minute. He takes a couple seconds. So. Because, you know, if you put the music on here, then I don't actually have to add anything.
Then there's no editing.
Come on. The edit for... And I had intro music, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Your job's done.
My job is done. Maybe if I pause and unpause, it'll start. You don't hear it either, right? It's not just me.
Nope.
It's like, you know, Fred Boat's a little janky.
A little wonky.
Wonky. Yeah, it's not showing, it's not actually making a cue. Like when I type the cue command, it's supposed to list what's in there. Not currently playing anything. Thanks, Fred Boat. Let's try this again. Oh.
Gotta start from scratch.
So, you're making my life so hard. Why is life so hard? I think it's just Fredbird being a dick. No, it's showing he's playing. Huh. All right. Well, weird. Not meant to be, I suppose.
What can you do?
What can you do? All right, Jason, you have a good night, buddy.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
You see, I've come to help you with your problems.